He gives victory. And somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to take your Bible. Turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. We'll read from 1 through 5. Thank you, Sandy. Now, who remembers what the pastor spoke about last week? Does anybody? It's just a little test. I won't tell the pastor. Does anybody remember what his text was? In Proverbs? When it something about backsliding? Backsliding. Backsliding. And as I started to leave Wednesday night, he'd asked me to speak tonight, and he says, "Now, Brother Darrell, I've taught them how to backslide tonight. I've told them all about backsliding. And I want you next week just to tell them how to get saved again." So tonight, I want you to follow me as I read chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you and quickly remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Now, nevertheless, I have this against you," in verse 4, "that you have left your first love." Almost every Christian who has walked with the Lord for any length of time has come to a place in their lives where, because of circumstances that they need to look at and to allow to impact and to affect them, or because of broken relationships or disillusionment with leadership or those in places of authority, these Christians have come to a place where they were stalemated, and they began to look in over their shoulder at the best times that they knew in God and began to ask the question, "How do I get back there? How do I recover that first love? How do I bring freshness and life into my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? How do I start over?" And the command of the scripture is that we do start over, folks. That when we come to the place that we realize there's something missing, that we do our first love over again. Now, is there anyone here in this place this evening that's ever asked the question other than me, "How do I start over? How do I start over?" That's what I want to talk to you about for the few minutes. How to start over. Father, I thank you for this opportunity tonight to just to speak what you've laid on my heart. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll let this soak deep into our hearts and give us the capacity, Lord, to receive what you have for us tonight. Lord, you know our hearts, and I ask you tonight just to show us yours tonight through this message. We thank you, Lord, for your sweet presence that we've already felt. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to just give you a preview of what the message is. David sits alone in his chamber, hot tears flowing down as mournful sobs erupt almost involuntarily from deep in his spirit. Uriah is dead. David murdered him by placing him on the front lines of a serious battle. Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, is with child. And you all know the story. And Nathan, the prophet, has just left the palace, and he has exposed David's sin. David was not grieving over the prospect of losing his throne or his kingdom or lost respect, but he was weeping over something that was far more valuable that he had already lost his intimacy with Almighty God. The tears and the sobs that from deep within his heart and spirit were tears and sobs of a man who desperately desired to simply start over. Elijah, the anointed one, the prophet whose words held the power of nature at bay. Elijah, who called the fire from heaven, who feared no man, who feared no army, who feared no devil, now lay as a dead man in the middle of the desert, praying, "God, just let me die." Embarrassed that a threat from a woman had frightened him into running away. But there was something deeper that grieved Elijah's heart. He had failed God. He had left his post as a watchman. Now he's wondered, is it possible for me to start over? Peter wept bitterly. His own words mocked him. "Don't let me fail you, Lord. I will never leave your side." And that fateful statement, "And thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And he would never forget the eyes of that young girl who looked searchingly into his face as they both stood by the fire that night. The girl who asked, "Are you one of the disciples?" Nor would he ever be able to forget his own response, "No, no, no." And the cursing that came from his lips, "No, no, I don't even know the man." And as the cock crowed, Peter remembered the sayings of Jesus, and he went out and wept bitterly. His tears now were not the product of ego bashing, failure. Instead, these were genuine tears of sorrow and repentance, of longing. A deep longing that some of us here this evening may have known, a longing to start over. When we begin to talk about starting over, about doing the first things again, about getting back to the place where his joy was so real, his peace was so profound and his purpose so pronounced, we must turn to the Word of God for answers. And I turn not just to the principles of God's Word for my answers, but I love to turn to the examples of God's words. And aren't you glad the Bible is a book about people? Aren't you also glad the Bible is about people who face the very same things that you and I face every day? Aren't you glad the Bible is a book about people who not only face the same things that you and I face each day, but people who show us in a very clear an example how they won, and therefore how you and I can win also? All three of these men that we have mentioned this evening were men who lost intimacy with God. Men who found themselves in a place where they wanted to start over. David, Elijah, and Peter. Men who lived in different generations. Men who had very different jobs descriptions and different giftings, but yet all who all came to the same place of desperation where they knew, "I've got to start over." And each one of them could be used as examples by themselves to just chart our way to mediocrity. But instead, I would use all three of them briefly to simply show a path that all of us can follow to getting back to where we need to be, finding our first love, starting over. First, let's look at David. David was a man after God's own heart. His relationship with God began not with the blessings of God when he was during his kingdom and during his king and when he was a great warrior, but his relationship with God started as a small boy out on the hillside attending his dad's sheep while his big brothers were fighting battles. It was there that many of his psalms were written. It was there that he really began to understand who God was and what God wanted to do in his own life. Yet one day David became bored, and in his boredom, in his depression, he began to look at other things to give him the excitement that the presence of God at one time gave him. It was then that the enemy took advantage. It was then that he began to see that he, like every other man, when disconnected from the presence of God, was bound to fail. You see, there's none of us here today who has a resolve strong enough to keep you from the woes of the devil. There's none of us None of us. There's not anyone who is disciplined that is so intact that you can be what you need to be in life without the presence of Almighty God. It is only God's presence in the world that is greater than the presence of the evil one. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But I've got good news for you this evening. His presence, God's presence, is inherently greater than the presence of the evil one. And he will keep you every time if you are plugged in. But when you're disconnected from the presence of God, you become a victim rather than a victor. So it was with this man, David, who was one of the central figures of relationship with God in all the Bible. And the prophet Nathan walked into the palace where David was, and this is basically what he said. He said, "The thing that has been done in secret, David, God is going to expose everywhere. All of the kingdom and all of the world are going to hear about your sin. And for thousands of years, people have been reading about it as it is recorded in the scripture." He also said, "The sword is never going to leave your house. You're going to begin to see the judgment of God in your children. And things are never going to be the same in your kingdom again." He said, "God is going to forgive you of your sin, David. You're not going to die. But believe me, all of these judgments are going to come against you and against those that you love dearly." At that point, David was devastated, but he was not devastated by any of the news that he had just heard from Nathan, that the stuff that he had was going to be destroyed, or that the relationships that he loved were going to be affected. That was not what broke David's heart. David had only one response to Nathan. Listen to it. I'll quote it. "I have sinned against my Lord." And that's why God loved David, because the greatest grief that he could imagine was not having his family judged or having all that he possessed taken away from him. It was not experiencing the same shame of the ridicule of people who would know what went on behind closed doors. The greatest grief that he would know was disappointing his Lord Jesus. Let me ask you something. How many of you love God like that? If you just begin to consider the grief that has come to our own lives in recent days, would we be honest in saying that most of our grief comes from circumstances that threaten our lifestyle rather than the fact that we just have lost intimacy with God? But this is the first step to starting over, and I want you to hear it. David gives it to us. David shows us that the first step to starting over is coming to an understanding that your relationship with God is the only issue. Your relationship with Almighty God tonight, folks, is the only issue. The reason men and women are never able to start over, to go back to the place where they loved the Lord, where they were committed to God, where the Spirit of the Lord burned within them, this is because they continue to take side roads, begin to take detours. They start back to recover, revival, but then there are the side roads. Brothers and sisters, let me give you some good news. These side roads are there, but you are, but through Jesus Christ, you can overcome each one of them. One of them says, "Remember the wounds that others inflicted upon you." So they take that road for a while. Another side road says, "Remember the break that you didn't get." You take that road for a while. Another says, "Remember the lies that you were told. Remember the way that you were raised. Remember the problems in your marriage. Remember your personality makeup. Remember your unfulfilled needs." And those detours go on and on and on. Friends, you have to refocus and get off the detours and back on the road to starting over. Because as long as there are other reasons for you being where you are, I can promise you, you will not start over. David knew the reason. He didn't have any other excuses for Nathan. He didn't give all the excuses that so many of us would give tonight. He could have said, Nathan, we didn't just keep this between you and I. You see, I'm going through the midlife crisis, all men do. Or, Nathan, you just don't understand the pressure in the Oval Office. Or Nathan, my wife just doesn't understand me. David simply said, the reason I am where I am is because I have lost intimacy with God. And I'm not seeking the God the way that I used to. I'm not loving God the way I need to love Him. And friends, the good news is when you finally come to the place where your relationship with God is the only issue, when your relationship with God is the only issue, it simplifies the road home. You say that is exactly what happened to the prodigal son. When the prodigal son had squandered all his money and found himself face down in the pig trough, he narrowed his problems to one small, straight and narrow road. I've got to get back into the right relationship with the Father. When he returned, his attitude had changed because he finally came to the place where his relationship with his Father was the only issue that the prodigal son had. He said, Dad, I'll do anything to be with you. I'll sleep in the barn with the hired help if you just let me be with you. All I want to do is to be in relationship with you the rest of my life. But Brother Darrell, it's not that easy. If it's not easy, if you say it's not that easy, then you'll just take another detour. But I've got to start over, folks. And the only way to start over is to reduce yourself to one simple idea. Intimacy with God is what I need. My relationship with God is the only issue. The road back has one step that is more important than all others, and that's an understanding that I only need one thing: renewed intimacy with Almighty God. Elijah, he's a discouraged prophet. He's face down in the desert. It's all over as far as he's concerned. He's begging to die. But he gives us the next step back home, back to where we need to be. A new revelation with God is the only answer. A new revelation with God is the only answer. Your relationship with God is the only issue, folks. But then you must have a new revelation of Almighty God. Revelation is a very important thing in the Scripture. How many of you really know what revelation is? Revelation is a very harrowing experience. If someone tells you that Jesus loves you, that's information. But when the love of Jesus absolutely soaks your whole being, you are so filled with the awe of His love, that's revelation. When someone says to you, God has the power to deliver you, that's information. But when you get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you begin to tremble under the power. You speak words that are not your own, and you have authority that you know is from heaven. That is revelation, church. And we must have a revelation, a new revelation of the presence of Almighty God. Here's the good news. And Elijah found out because as he was faced down in the desert, God sent an angel to bring Elijah to the holy mountain. And there at the holy mountain, God taught Elijah something. He made him stand and experience an earthquake. He experienced a storm, he experienced a fire, he experienced a strong wind, but God wasn't in any of it. And they came, and then came a soft, gentle voice, and it was God. And the lesson was this: Elijah, more than all of the powerful demonstrations of your life is the revelation of who I am, is you loving me. The reason you got discouraged and the reason you lost it is because you've been preoccupied with the fire and the wind and the earthquake. You have been so into my stuff and all that I was able to do that you have forgotten who I am. So I want you to understand the greatest revelation that you can have is simply intimacy with me, knowing me, loving me. I want to make this as simple as plain as I can. Everyone who is intent on starting over needs to understand you need a fresh and feeling of power that you can feel in your mind, that you can feel in your spirit, and that you can feel in your body. You need a fresh infusion of the power that you can actually know has possessed you. It's the only way back, the only way back, folks. In my 10 years, I used to wait on the Lord. I would wait around the altar until I felt His power and His presence. After school, I would go down in the woods where I'd built an altar, and I would pray and tarry, and I'd wait upon the Lord until the power came down. And there would be such a mighty presence of the Lord there in that woods. We called it praying through back then. It wasn't that God had communication problems, no. Nor was he on a time schedule. It was rather that I had to pray with all of these things that distracted me, had to be pushed out of my way. Then I could embrace him and I could love him. The reason people have trouble starting over is that they are not willing to pay the price that Elijah had to pay. Elijah was exactly where he needed to be, face down and desperate. And then God was able to give him a revelation of his presence. As the Roman soldiers led Jesus from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem to be arraigned before the Sanhedrin court, Jesus was brought into Jerusalem through what is called the Sheep Gate. It was called that because the sheep appointed for sacrifice were brought through this gate on the way to the temple. It was fitting that the spotless Lamb of God was led through this same gate. And the scripture says that Peter followed him, but he followed him afar off. There was still love and concern in Peter's heart for his master, but felt for his own safety, he prevailed. He followed afar off to save his reputation. The problem with many in the church today that are called by his name are not willing to be known as Christ's disciples. And Peter began to associate himself with the high priest's servants as he sat outside the palace that evening around the fire that night, trying to hide himself in the smoke. It was there that the two maidens asked him the question, "Aren't you one of them? Aren't you one of them?" And as Peter denied Christ three times, the rooster crowed, and even though Peter had his back to Jesus and Christ was being tried, he knew all that Peter had said. Folks, Christ takes more notice of what you say and what you do than you realize. When Peter disowned Christ, yet Christ did not disown Peter. Aren't you glad that Christ does not deal with us as we deal with him? Christ turned and looked at Peter because he knew that though he had denied him with his lips, yet his eyes would still be towards him. And he gave Peter a look which none but Peter would understand the meaning of. It's called a convincing look. "Don't you know me, Peter? Peter, don't you know me? Peter, aren't you the one that made that bold statement, 'Thou art the Son of God. I will never disown you, Lord.'" The crowing of the rooster would not have brought him to repentance without that look. You see, power went along with this look to change the heart of Peter. Peter remembered the words of Jesus, and he went out and he wept bitterly. Just one look from Christ melted him into tears of godless sorrow for his sin. Sandy, if you'll come back to the piano, I'll ask you a question. How long has it been since you felt that convicting spirit? And I think we'll sing the one that we sing a while ago. He'll be there for you. How long has it been since you felt the convicting spirit of following Christ, but you followed him afar off, and you fell on your face and you wept bitterly? Or how long has it been since you woke up early in the morning and felt his presence, and throughout the day you could sense the Holy Spirit as it bathed your soul with God's anointing presence? How long has it been since you took that time out of your day just to love him, to worship him, to embrace him, to have close intimacy with God? Friends, if it's been a long time, then your relationship with God is your most important issue. And you need a new revelation of God. You need a new revelation of God. There may be someone here tonight that would say, "I've lost my first love." I want you to bow your heads with me. Father, Lord, I thank you for your word, and you've taught us how to start over again. There's many of us, many times, have come to the place in our lives where we've had to stop and say, "I'm not where I used to be with God." And God, I just need to start over. If there's someone here this evening, would you say with me, I want to start over. I need to start over. I need to rededicate my life. I want a new revelation of who God is. God, I feel like I've lost that first love that Jesus told John to write to the church of Ephesus about. If you're here this evening and you feel like you've lost that first love, and you go back to the pastor's message last week on backsliding, if you feel like you've lost your first love, you feel like you're lukewarm tonight, and you want to get back to where you once was with God, as we sing the song one more time, He'll be there for you. I want you to just get up and make your way to the altar. And there'll be with those of us that will come with you, and they will pray with you. If you've lost your faith, if that desire is to go and witness is not as strong as it was at one time, if you feel like you need to get back to where you were at one time with God, I want you to just stand to your feet and just come forward. Will you stand with me? Let's sing that song. He'll be there for you. Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. Folks, He'll be there. He's there with open arms, and He'll say, I'll take you back. But remember, the most important thing about your life is a new relationship with God and a new understanding that God is your only issue. Let's sing it again. He'll be there for you. He'll be there for you in your greatest hours. He'll see through. Oh, He'll be there for you. Now, why don't you raise both hands and sing this to Him? Oh, He'll be there for you. He'll be there for you in your greatest of trials. He'll see through. Oh, He'll be there for you. Let's make it personal. He'll be there for me. Folks, He's always there. He will help you find your way back to your first love if you just ask Him. Say, God, I've become lukewarm. I've lost my intimacy. I need a new relationship with You. I just want to have a new relationship with my Father. Jesus, I know You're there for us tonight. Oh, He'll be there for me. He'll be there for me in my greatest of trials. He'll see me through. Oh, He'll be there for me. Aren't you glad that He'll always be there? He'll always be there. He'll never forsake you, friends. God is on the throne. Peter denied Him, but He never denied Peter. Hallelujah. I'm glad that we have people who set good examples of pointing the way back to our first love. Now, I know I'm 3 minutes over the 8:30 appointment with the peaches outside, but let's pray and be dismissed. I kind of rushed it. Father, thank You for Your word tonight. And Lord, if there's any one person in here that has lost their first love, Lord, I pray before this week is over, Lord, that you'll draw them so close to your bosom. And Jesus, Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you'll fill them with such love, Lord, that it'll go from Wednesday night to Sunday. Lord, fill us with such power and such grace and such love and such anointing, Lord, that we don't worry about failing you tomorrow, but we know that you'll be there for us in our greatest hour of trial. You're there in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And don't forget the funeral tomorrow of Sister Corgi. Lord bless you, and thank you for being here tonight.